Thought I might borrow Miss Faye's glasses tonight. I tell you, glasses is something, aren't they? All right. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 16. Sometimes as a preacher, I've wished I had a handle here. I could pull it and a trap door would be here and I could just disappear. And the Lord, He's faithful though, amen. I wish I could just carry a tune like Brother Gerald and not even be able to read. I watched. You say, what's this got to do with church? Nothing. But I seen Barney at Andy Griffin the other day. I wish Brother Tim was here. Never had seen one of them segments. They got old Barney in the church choir, and he sounded about like I did. Was making every excuse in the world to set him down, not hurt his feelings. I thought I'd seen everything, but I'd seen that. Amen. Good old Barney and Ernest D. Bass. Somebody say amen right there. Praise God. He'd help you on a bad day. That's right. Matthew 16 tonight. Good to see you. Boy, just smile. It'll help you. Amen. We're soon to get out of this thing. I sure am grateful for it. Let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God tonight. Found in Matthew's Gospel 16. Start reading in verse number 13. The Bible said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answered, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm glad He's alive tonight. I'm glad I'm not having to pray to a statue that can't answer. But He said, I believe thou art the Christ. I wonder, have you ever had that kind of belief? That He is the anointed one, the sent one. And then He says, Jesus answered, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thank you for standing tonight, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love You. We thank You for the Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask You to forgive us of where we failed You. Help us tonight in the Word of God. Let us be a blessing to the people. Thank You, Lord, for what we've already felt tonight. Thank You for these good people, Lord, that's come on a Wednesday. I pray, Lord, You'd give them a blessing. Help those out back. Lord, help those underneath tonight that are teaching. Pray, Lord, Your Son would be exalted. And You'd help us now. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach on the church tonight. The Roman Catholic Church has pulled this verse out of context and said that Christ built the church upon Peter. Said that He called him this rock. Well, the word Peter and rock have similarities. But Peter means Petros. It literally means a little rock. And upon this rock, when Christ said Petra, He said, I will build my church, which means a stone. Something solid. I'm glad He's not built the church on man tonight. He's not built the church on a denomination. He's not built the church with sticks and mortar. But God has built the church upon His Son. Now, this rock, Petra, I'm glad that it's been a standing a long time. I want to break this one verse down in 18 in seven different areas. And I want to deal with those thoughts tonight real briefly. On first of all, notice the information that's given. The Bible said, and I say also unto thee, the information. I'm glad that He is a God of information. If you want to know God, you can know more about God by the Word of God. In Psalms chapter number 12 and verse number 6, I'm thankful for the information that God would inform us of many things in this world. I'm glad that He wrote that I must be born again. You don't live a good life and go to heaven. There must be a change. There must be a supernatural happening by the Spirit of God. God must deal with us as a sinner, draw us by the Spirit, and convince us that we are a sinner. If there was no Holy Ghost, nobody would ever be saved. Because, you see, the Holy Ghost must deal with us and convict us of our sins. Not only must the Holy Ghost convict us of our sins, He must convince us that we are a sinner. People will never get saved unless they're convinced that they need a Savior. And I thank Him for that tonight, that He is a God of information. He said, I say also unto thee. He said, I want to clarify some things that I am a God of information. I'm glad He's informed me about some things. Now in Psalms 12 and verse number 6, He simply says this, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. He is a God of information. We see that His words are pure. God is holy. Many people try to bring God down to our level, but God won't come to our level, friend. God is high and holy. And the only way we're going to get to a thrice holy God is by His Son, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Intellectualism will not let you get to God. Work ethics will not let you get to God, but I sure am glad that the Word of the Lord is pure. And we find that He is a God of information. Not only is His Word pure, but in Psalms 119, I want to say His Word is pleasant. In 119 and 103, the longest chapter in your Bible, there He says, how sweet are Thy words unto my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The Word of God is very pleasant. Then in Psalms 138 and verse number 4, His words are powerful. The Bible said that all the kings of the earth shall praise Thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of Thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. In Matthew 16 and 18, we find there is information. I'm glad His words are pure, they are pleasant, and they are powerful. I can't tell you enough how I'm glad we've got a God that is informing. Where would we be tonight if we didn't have information from the God of glory? I'm glad that He loved us so much that He sent us His Son in order to get to heaven. If you want to see what's on the heart and the mind of God, you look toward Calvary. There He put the dearest and the best thing He had upon a cross. There He died for the sins of the whole world. My Bible said He paid a ransom for all. Never let a man tell you that Christ only died for a select few. Never let a man tell you that Christ only died for this part. My Bible says He paid a ransom for all. And I sure am glad I'm informed that I could go to heaven by God's Son. And tonight, this thing of the church, we see, I say also unto thee, there's information. But then He uses a phrase, that thou art Peter, there is humiliation. You know, if you live long enough, God will let you find out who you really are. Peter was doing pretty good as long as James and John was with him. I think a lot of times we do real good long as we're in the choir or we're in a church service like this. But you know something? Peter has some issues with himself. God is speaking to him and He said, now thou art Peter, or thou art Petros. In other words, you're a little rock. He said, Peter, I can't build upon you. And it's a great day in my life and your life when we realize that we are sinners saved by the grace of God. There are no big ones. There are no little ones. You know, I don't believe I'd do too good pastoring a real dignified and religious church. I just don't have much time for somebody to think they own a limb above me. Honey, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell tonight. I mean, what have we got to gloat about? All we can do is say, oh, what a Savior. What a friend we have. And He sits there in this text verse of the church, and He said, thou art Peter. Boy, it's a blessing when He puts us in our place. I've noticed this. When people get to flying too high, He will allow you to crash. I've noticed then when a man or woman's head goes to getting big, boy, all of a sudden He'll let the air out of us. But here, Peter, we find him in humiliation in Mark 14 and 27. Peter is one of my greatest Bible heroes. I loved his actions. I find myself many times conducting myself like Simon Peter. But here in this text verse, not only is there information, there is a humiliation. He said that thou art Peter. And in Mark 14, verse number 27, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, or surely, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me three times. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Now notice this, we see an arrogant remark. You know, Peter, what he just said, He said, Lord, I'll die with you if I have to. He said, Lord, everybody else may walk off from you, but I'm going to be the last man standing. And notice there were some others likewise said it also. Now we see an arrogant remark. But look in verse 66 of that same chapter and notice an appropriate reminder. We better watch ourselves. The same night as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. Why'd he go out in the porch, preacher? Well, he couldn't hear what God had that rooster to say on the inside. See, God done set the clock in that rooster, friend. And he knowed exactly when to tell him to go off. At the time Peter stepped out on the porch, I believe the good God of glory said, Hey, rooster, say something and remind him who he is. And when he said, cock-a-doodle-doo, I believe Peter realized God knew more about him than he knew about himself. Can I remind you tonight, friend, God knows more about me and you than we know about ourselves. And we better watch about being up on a limb someplace saying, God, I won't, because we'll be the first ones that'll do it. Now we see humiliation. Boy, it does us good when we realize that we are flesh. Verse 69, and a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. You know, could I give you some good advice as you preacher tonight? Don't never say, I won't do this. Say, by the grace of God, I won't do this. Should we take some reminders from Simon Peter, one of the choicest men of the Bible, that he had issues with his flesh? Can I tell you, when Peter distanced himself from the other disciples, he became weaker? Did you know that there is power in strength tonight? Do you realize, ladies, that Eve got in trouble when she distanced herself from her husband? She got in trouble when she pulled herself and become alone. Did you know when God saw Adam, He said, It's not good that man be alone, but I'll make him a helpmeet for him. Can I tell you tonight that it's not good that we be alone? We need each other. We need everybody in the family of God. I appreciate these little ones that have come by and hugged me and encouraged me. A lot of you don't know what that means. You know, I was preaching the other morning, and I know they're not here tonight. That's why I'll bring it up. I'll let you know it don't bother me, as long as it don't become a pattern. But there's a child broke loose and run up through here and went and set up my chair. Well, my goodness, that don't bother me. I just appreciate a mom and daddy bringing a baby to the house of God. Amen. It don't bother me for babies to come around an altar. I wish we had more babies coming around the altar tonight. But I'm saying this, we need each other. And I thank God for your children and your grandchildren that encourages me. And we need to realize that when we stick together, we're stronger when we stick together. Peter found himself very weak and very vulnerable for the devil. And I don't care what anybody says, the writer in Ecclesiastes knew what he was saying when he said, It is better for two to be together than one be alone. Now Peter found out upon himself, he brought great humiliation. Here Christ is telling Peter and putting him in his place. Christ is telling the world that he's not building the church upon man, but he's going to build it upon a rock who is himself. Now here is information. Here is humiliation. But thirdly, look what he says. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock there is a foundation. In Matthew 7:24, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, goes all the way back to the Sunday school days. And you know something? It is very important that we have Sunday school at times to educate and teach our young people. I thank the Lord for good Bible study and good teachers. And I can remember this probably goes back as far as any verse can go back that I can remember. We talk about this foundation. It is a foundation that we can build upon. In Matthew 7:24, there the Bible tells us this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And watch, the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell. And look, and great was the fall of it. Came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now this foundation, he said he would build upon the rock. I'm glad I'm on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I'm glad I'm not counting on the Baptist church to get me to heaven. I'm glad I'm not counting on my good works or my good ethics or my right haircut to get me to heaven tonight. Oh my, I'm glad the foundation is a great place to build upon. And tonight, sinner, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, I tell you what, I preached out of a parable the other morning in Matthew 22 where it says, and that stone one day will grind you to powder. Or you can fall upon that stone and be broken. If you'll fall on that stone and be broken, you can be repaired. But don't you wait too late and let that stone of judgment fall upon you and take you to powder. I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad that he is a stone to build upon. I've been building on him now for over 30 years. And I'm going to tell you, thank God I've got a foundation. There's been storms come, there's been winds to blow, and thank God there's been somebody that I've been a standing on, and he's been standing by me. Amen. I thank God. I'm glad one day he saved me, and the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ is my life. He's not an option. He's not something that I do when I have nothing else to be doing. He is my life. He is my all. And I glorify and I magnify him that he is a rock that I can build upon. If you build it on sand, you better remember this, neighbor. It's going to be sinking sand. Storms is going to come. The winds is going to blow. And you're going to go down with it. But thanks be unto God, we that are standing on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, come winds, come water, it don't matter. I'm glad he's a standing with us. Glory to God. I'm glad I've got an anchor of the soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he loves me when I'm bad. I'm glad he loves me when I'm down. I'm glad he loves me when I'm sad. Thank God he loves me when I'm at church. He loves me at Dairy Queen. Thank God. He loves me at top of the river. He loves me on the golf course. He loves me back over yonder in the deer stand. Thank God he is a God you can build on tonight. And I'm glad I know him as my salvation. I love him and I praise him. He is a rock to build on. He's a rock to bank on. Now you listen real good to this preacher tonight. I thank God for friends. Somebody told me one time that at the end of life's way, if you've got five friends, if you can fill one hand up with true friends, you've been mighty blessed. I'd like to think I've got more than that tonight. But I can tell you this, we don't never know. But I can tell you one thing that you can know. He's not only a rock that we can build on, but He's a rock we can bank on. Look in Luke 6 and 48. Some folks will walk off and leave. Some of y'all got friends because they just in on what you got. And then after they get out of you what they want, you won't see them no more. When I was running that plant, I thought I had about 200 friends, but I didn't. Amen. Ain't nobody called me since then. Ain't no sense whining on it. That's just reality. People will use you like a dish rag. Amen. I had a big crowd as long as I had weed, plenty of stuff to smoke and drink. But when I got saved, that crowd changed. But thank God I found out there just after what I had. But I'm glad God let me meet some new friends. Some friends ain't interested in what I have, but who I have. Hallelujah. Would somebody help me preach on a Wednesday night? Amen. Thank God. It ain't about what I have. It's about who I have. I'm glad He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And some of the best friends I've ever had in my life is in this church tonight. And I thank God for you. Hallelujah. I thank God for friends tonight. Now, this stone we can build on. This stone you can bank on. Luke 6, 48. Boy, isn't it true, you that are older. This phrase, my dad-in-law told me this, and it's come to pass. He said, Ken, he told me this way back under 30 years ago. He said, Ken, you remember this, the older you get, the more your priorities is going to change. You know what a great night is for me? About 8 o'clock, put on a pair of sweatpants that this belt ain't too tight on, and a good loose T-shirt. Get me one of them bags of that new popcorn with that sugar on it. Put it in the microwave. Get me some lemonade and watch the grandbabies come in. And thank God when they drop them off, they come back by and pick them up. Somebody say amen. And boy, about 9 o'clock, you get to go in back there and we done got that electric blanket plugged in. Somebody, I'm about to shout right now. Man, I tell you, I got tired of them cold sheets. Thank God for electric blanket. I don't know who invented that, but I could hug his or her neck tonight. Boy, I slide and I got mine on 3. Miss Renee's got hers on 6. I take my foot and slide it over. I say, hon, yours sure is warmer than mine. She says, stay on your side of the bed. Amen. Now, that's a living. That's when my priorities is changing. Used to, I'd want to be out with a coon dog to 1 or 2 o'clock in the night, frog gigging or trot lining or being crazy. But boy, ain't it amazing how your priorities change. But honey, I got saved when I was 20 years old. And I've never had nothing like the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never had nobody that good to me. I've never had nobody that backed me like that. I've never had nobody love me like Jesus has loved me. Boy, He is a friend. He is a rock that you can bank on. Now, your priorities is going to change the older you get. Let me go on and give you some good advice. And it's 20 after. I'll be done at 8:30. Quit building them big old houses. Because when your youngins leave, you ain't going to be able to find mama with a flashlight. My house is like a motel. It's long. And I don't like being by myself. Ain't it something when you got a wife, Brother Randall, and you walk in and you say, hey, she don't say nothing. And you walk all the way to the back of the bedroom, about from here to the fellowship hall, and find out she ain't in the bed, and you walk back and she's right there in your study. You just walk by. I said, why didn't you say something? You know what she said? Oh, I thought you was talking on the telephone. I said, no, I done about pastored so long, I'm crazy, I'm talking to myself. But I can tell you something, watch building them big old houses, they're going to move out. You ain't going to need all that. I got one for sale tonight at a bargain if anybody needs it. Now the foundation, place to build on. Luke 6, 48, look, boy, I'm glad it is a place to bank on. Luke 6, 48, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he's like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. And watch this. Now underline this. And when the flood arose. It ain't if it is. It's when the flood arose. A stream beat vehemently upon that house. Could not shake it. For it was founded on a rock. And let me tell you, couples tonight. Some of us may be here tonight. We're not immune to cancer. Some of the greatest members we've got in this church has cancer tonight. I want to tell you, some of the greatest families in our church will experience divorce. Some of the greatest families we've got tonight will experience their kids going on a wayward path. But you hear me and you hear this preacher well tonight. This rock that you can bank on. When the storms come, it will not shake your house. I'm glad He's a shelter in the storm. Not if it comes, but when it comes. And tonight, thank God for this foundation, a place to build on, a place to bank on. 1 Corinthians 10, I want you to look. Boy, it is a stone to brag on. And I'm going to tell you, He deserves all of our praise tonight. We can't gloat on nothing we've done. To Him be the honor and the glory of everything. You see in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 1, you'll notice this. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you, or you should be ignorant, how that our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did all eat the same spiritual meat? Did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Boy, He is a rock to brag on. And then look what He says. Let's go back over there to that text verse, to Matthew 16, 18, one of the greatest verses in our Bible. Watch now. There's information. He said, I say unto thee, there's humiliation that thou art Peter. There's a foundation upon this rock. But look what He says. There's dedication. I will build. You see that? There's dedication. The church isn't going down. Church going up. I realize that in our realm of churches, a lot of independent Baptist churches are dying. But let me tell you, they don't have to. The members is what kills them. It's not God. He seeks such as those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. God don't want to be caught up in litigation. God don't want to be caught up in conferences and voting. It's no place in your Bible. God wants a people to come and want to hear from Him. God wants a people to be hungry and thirsting after righteousness. He said that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Boy, if you've got an ear for the heart of God, He'll be sure to let you hear something. And so tonight we see this, a great, great dedication. I will build. God is building His church. Not buildings, the church. The born again, we're in the church. How's He building? Well, the next thing gets saved, we're one more close to going to heaven than we was the day before. There's a bride that's going to be made up. Let me tell you, there'll be no empty chairs in heaven. God knows everything about it. He's going to make up His bride. And when that last one's saved by the grace of God, when is that, preacher? I don't know. But He does. And boy, He's going to send His Son back for the church. And until then, He's going to build this church. Let me tell you, the devil ain't going to shut the church down. Because we see dedication. He said, I will build. And then look and watch this now. There is also a clarification. He said, my church. Not Ken's church. Not your church. But He wants to clarify it is His church. In Ephesians 5 and 23. Ephesians 5 and 23. Apostle Paul's writing, look what he says. He says, verse 21, submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church, He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, I want to say this tonight. On this clarification, He directs the church. He's the head. Even the pastor don't get to make his decisions. The pastor's got to listen to the voice of God. It's the heartbeat of God for this ministry that we've got to listen to and obey. You listen to me. God knows what we need in this church. God died for sinners. He's wanting us to go out into the lost world and be a light and be salt. I heard a man say something this week and it made a lot of sense to me. For us asking sinners just to wander in and come to church is like asking felonies to go to the police department. He said, go and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. I'm afraid a lot of times we're behind on the Great Commission. We are to invite sinners, bring them to the house of God, let them hear the gospel. This thing's winding down, Liberty. God is building His church, and He's building it with people and the Word of God. Now, there is clarification. It's His church. Listen, this ain't your church. This is God's church. This is a building. When we leave, God's not in here. We are the temple of God. He lives in us. We bring God to church with us. When we have a meeting and we think everything is in the tank, it might be us instead of Him. Because see, God inhabits this temple, not this temple. We can go out under them trees and have church because God's in us. And so there's a clarification. It is His church. He directs the church. He defends the church. And He delights in the church. He died for the church. Don't you think He loves us enough tonight? He delights in it. Don't you think that it makes God, don't you think that it makes God appreciate things? Or don't you think that it would make God be more satisfied with us filling His house, coming to church when we have services, instead of nonchalantly hit or miss, put God in the back, use Him for a spare tire? God wants to be everything in our life. And I'm going to tell you tonight, church, there's a clarification. He said, my church. And then look, there's aggravation. The gates of hell. He's an aggravating devil. Boy, he's busy, devil, ain't he? Matter of fact, he's bothered every one of us today. He'll never leave you alone. Don't think the longer you get saved, the less devil trouble you're going to have. Probably the more devil trouble you're going to have. Always remember this, Christian. Always remember this, church. New levels, new devils. When you go to a new level with God, you're going to have a new devil come around. Because, boy, he hates for you taking any ground away from him. Tonight, there is aggravation, the gates of hell. And let me tell you, that's real. Some of you tonight's lost. You've never accepted Christ. Don't you realize hell is real? Hell is a place that if you reject Christ and don't accept Him, you're going to go there and you're going to stay forever. Eternity is too long to be wrong. The gates of hell. And look what he says. Glory to God, there's a declaration. Shall not prevail. Boy, he may knock us down. But thank God he ain't got us knocked out. And you know something, Christian, what a lot of people needs to realize. When we do wrong and we repent, when we have godly sorrow and we really repent, did you know that Christ forgives us of everything and you have no reason to point your finger at nobody? It happened to Peter. But look what he done. He went out and he wept bitterly. Did you know when he got out of the tomb, the first thing that he said, I want y'all to go and tell Peter. Go tell Peter. I know he's got in his mind, and this is one of the biggest things as a child of God. This is what the devil will do. He'll paint such a bad picture in your mind that God hadn't forgive you or nobody else has forgive you. But he said, I want you to tell Peter. Because the last time he seen me, he was a weeping. And I want you to tell him I love him. You go tell him I love him. What a God. What a God that would love us in spite of how we are. And you know, this is my heart, Liberty. I'm done. To keep a church that's real. Real people, real issues. But just as Brother Tommy stood up tonight and said, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Brother Michael and Miss Kimberly, they're home tonight in some dire situation, but there's nothing too hard for the Lord, and they realize that. If your young ones walk off, there's nothing too hard for He can do anything. Just don't give up on praying. Prayer does change things. Prayer does change things. My little grandgirl the other day, she said, Pop, I want a popsicle. I said, nope. She said, Pop, I want a popsicle. I said, no. You done eat one. But Pop, I want a popsicle. No. You done eat one. Pop, I want a pop. I said, okay. All right. Here's the whole box. By our persistence is how we move the heart of God. If it don't mean nothing to you, it don't mean nothing to God. But the more I pray, God, this means something to me. It means something to Him. Appreciate you being here tonight. Stand with us. I want to say this.